Dr. Pinsky dictating a female IME on February 9 regarding Janet Cornell, C-O-R-N-E-L-L. As you know, I previously evaluated Ms. Cornell as described in my report of 11-7-18. It appears she is now a 59-year-old woman who again reports she was injured at work on 8-7-17. Prior to that occasion, she fell through a trapped area in the floor of an auditorium at Triton High School on the stage. But as a result, she injured her left ankle, back, and neck, and went to MedExpress the same day. Period. She had further evaluation leading to a diagnosis of sciatic nerve damage and injuries to her neck and back. Period. She did not undergo any surgery in this matter. Period. On her own, she saw Dr. DiMartino and Dr. Sal Kind. The latter performed a second EMG study. Appeared she received numerous injections in her back from Dr. Salkind. Appeared she estimates there were 20 in the cervical spine and 30 in the lumbar spine. Period. New paragraph. You have informed me that the petitioner has now amended her claim to include cosmetic residuals at her left foot. Period. You are denying these allegations and are accepting compensability only for the left foot injury. Period. I was already in receipt of much of the documentation you currently supplied, so we'll focus on that which is new. Period. New paragraph. These records show she was seen by Dr. Rosen on 11-21-17. Period. He recommended an MRI of the ankle and foot to rule out anything they were not seeing on clinical exam. Period. If this was unremarkable, it was his feeling she had residuals of a contusion that should continue to resolve over time. Period. Upon physical exam, there was no mention of scarring or other cosmetic issues relative to her foot. Period. Actually, go back to the history of accident. She also relates that she originally felt loss of sensation in her left toe, and then this expanded to the right side. Period. New paragraph on 2/13/18. She was seen by a family physician named Dr. Bertel, B-E-R-T-E-L. Period. He diagnosed her with influenza. Period. New paragraph on 6/12/18. Ms. Cornell was seen orthopedically by Dr. Moulter. Period. X-rays of the lumbar spine showed no evidence of scoliosis, but there was grade 1 spondylolisthesis and mild degenerative changes at L4-5 and L5-S1. Period. X-rays of the hip showed no significant degenerative changes. Period after examination, she ambulated without assistance. Period musculoskeletal exam revealed no distal edema, cyanosis, or clubbing in the lower extremities. Period she had normal range of motion of the lower extremities with no pain on motion of the hip or knee joint. Period she had no trochanteric piriformis or SI joint pain. Period she also had no lumbar paraspinal muscle spasm, but there was tenderness on the right side. Period, there was no tenderness at the spinous processes. Period, he diagnosed low back pain, spondylolisthesis at L4-5, and other vertebral disc degeneration of the lumbar sacral region. Period, she participated in physical therapy from 7/12/18 to 8/12/18. Period, she returned to Dr. Moulter on 8/22/18 when he recommended electrodiagnostic studies of the lower extremities. These were done on 9/18/18 by Dr. Dholakia, D-H-O-L-A-K-I-A. They were consistent with, but not diagnostic of, chronic right L5-S1 radiculopathy and chronic left S1 radiculopathy. This was based on the decreased amplitude of the bilateral tibial motor responses, as well as the absence of the right peroneal F response. There was no evidence of acute denervation or peripheral polyneuropathy. Period, she returned to Dr. Malta to review these results on 10/5/18. Pretty then referred her for a cervical spine MRI to see if there was any central cause of her continued symptomatology. Peritonepagraft cervical spine MRI was done on 10/24, which showed cervical spondylosis most prominent at C5-6. Prepare to put this in bold. We will insert our version of the MRI report also. Period. On 11/13/18, Dr. Malta recommended a lumbar MRI as well as electrodiagnostic studies of the upper extremities. Period lumbar MRI was done on 11/21/18 to be inserted here. Period did an EMG on 12/18/18 to be inserted here. Period. New paragraph, she then was seen by a pain specialist named Dr. Gupta, GEPTA, on 12/21/18. Period. The petitioner then underwent a lumbar epidural injection on 5/30/19 by Dr. Scaringe, S-C-A-R-I-N-G-E, Dietrich, D-I-E-T-R-I-C-H. A cervical epidural injection was then administered by this physician on 6/13/19. Another lumbar MRI was done on 7/17/19 to be inserted here. Period, a repeat cervical MRI was done the same day to be inserted here. Period, new paragraph, she was seen by Dr. Jallo, J-A-L-L-O, on 7/23/19. Who recommended a trial of physical therapy. She then underwent epidural slash nerve root sleeve injection at the left L4, L5, and S1 levels on 8/16/19, 9/6/19, and 9/20/19 by Dr. Salkind. She also underwent posterior lumbar spinal joint radiofluoroscopic steroid block of the bilateral L4-5 and L5-S1 levels on 12/20/19 and 1/10/20, also by Dr. Salkind. And lastly, on 5/27/20 and 6/17/20, he performed radiofrequency thermocoagulation of the medial branch at the left L3, L4, L5, and sacral ALA levels. Period. In paragraph, Ms. Cornell was also seen by neurosurgeon Dr. Mitchell on 7/12/18. Period. He reviewed the documentation available and performed a clinical examination. Period. He wrote the numbness in the left foot was in the toes, suggesting peripheral etiology and not spinal etiology. Period. The only findings he detected on clinical exam was decreased sensation in the distal toes on only the left lower extremity. Period. She had no other objective physical findings. Period. She did have pain on internal rotation of the right leg and hip. Period. This would be considered an objective finding, but would not be from the lumbar spine. Period. He wrote this patient had no evidence of lumbosacral radiculopathy or radiculitis. Period. New paragraph, he added that if she were to develop any symptoms or have any, they would be far removed by her own account from her injury. Period. She did not have these symptoms until a couple of months ago. Period. They were now almost 1 year from the date of injury. Period. As such, this would be 10 months after her injury and clearly unrelated. Period. Furthermore, she was in a boot for 2 months from August until October, but her symptoms did not begin until March 2018. Period. That was 5 months after she was removed from the boot. Period. She related Dr. Mulder informed her that walking in the boot caused her lumbar radiculitis. Period. Dr. Mitchell did not agree with that statement, and there was no mechanism to account for such. Period. Overall, he wrote there were no objective findings to indicate the lumbar spine or the cervical spine is an issue in this case, or etiology for her symptoms. Apparently her issues were all on her left foot. Apparently her right hip pain was not from her spine. Apparently it's certainly possible it was from the hip itself. Apparently furthermore, her symptoms did not begin until a couple of months ago and are clearly unrelated to the injury of almost a year ago. Apparently he deemed she was not in need of curative treatment at that juncture. Period. Physical exam. Extremities upper, she remained dressed, so no visualization or pinprick testing could be performed on the upper extremities. Extremities lower. She also remained in her pants. Apparently she removed her shoes, revealing redness on the dorsal aspect of the right more than left toes. Period. When performing pinprick sensation overlying her toes, she stated it gave a, quote, sensation, period, end quote. However, she did not report inability to detect that pinprick was being done. Period, feet and ankles normal, cervical normal, thoracic normal, lumbar sacral. She ambulated with an equivocal limp on the left side. Period, the rest of that section is normal. Impressions on 8/7/17, Janet Cornell was injured at work, as marked in my prior report. But since that time, she did have additional diagnostic testing and treatment, as described above. But this involved MRI studies of the cervical lumbar spine, as well as electrodiagnostic studies of the upper and lower extremities. But she had injection therapy from Dr. Gupta and Dr. Skarinja Dietrich. Period. In the report of the EMG done on 12/18/18, there was mild to moderate right median neuropathy of the wrist, affecting both the sensory as well as the motor component of the median nerve of the right wrist, with no evidence of sensory or motor axon loss, as well as left ulnar neuropathy secondary to a forearm laceration in 1996, comma, appearing to be primarily sensory in nature. But there was also a left ulnar neuropathy at the elbow, involving the motor component of the ulnar nerve at the left elbow, with no evidence of motor axon loss. But there was no electrodiagnostic evidence for right or left cervical radiculopathy. Period. This scratch that. The paragraph, the current examination of Ms. Cornell was essentially unrevealing. There she had an equivocal intalgic gait on the left. Period, my opinions relative to permanency will be inserted from my prior report. And